Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. See through faith, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed for the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials.
Well, the song that we sang this morning would be, would almost sum up the letter that we're looking at this morning, 1 Peter, and what God would want those suffering believers. We're looking away back to AD 62 to 64, two letters that the Apostle Peter wrote from Rome. Both were addressed to believers scattered throughout Northern Asia, Minor or modern-day Turkey. They were experiencing testing times because of their faith, because of their loyalty, their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. But things were going to get worse. The heat was going to be turned up in a greater way under Emperor Nero. And those unwilling to renounce their faith would experience violent, cruel execution, persecution. According to Christian tradition, the apostles Peter and Paul were both martyred during Nero's reign. And Peter, aware of this, discerning the times that he was living in, and no doubt enlightened by God's Spirit of the trials that the church was increasingly going to face, he writes to these scattered believers to encourage them, to stimulate them to healthy and wholesome thinking in the midst of the trials, the challenges that they were facing, and to affirm from personal experience that God's grace would enable them to stand firm in their trials. He's saying, God's grace has enabled me to stand, and it's sufficient for you as well. And God's word through his Spirit will be saying to you as well, it's sufficient for you, us, today, to enable you to stand in the trials that you have to face. The first truth that Peter brings to their remembrance is the wonder that they have been chosen by God to be his people. That was expressed in that psalm that we read this morning. Peter goes on to reveal why and how. Firstly, because of God's foreknowledge, God's foreloving of them, because of God's infinite goodness, choosing to set his love upon undeserving sinners. Then through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, on the basis of Christ's saving work on their behalf, the Holy Spirit makes them holy in his sight and empowers them to become progressively holy in our lives. And that process will be perfected one day in heaven. And then lastly, we were looking last week, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. For them to live obedient, holy lives for Christ's sake. That's God's purpose for us as well today, to live obedient lives for Christ's sake. Jacqueline was sharing this morning something about the challenge that we face in our times to stick your head up above the parapet and say that you're a believer and that you stand for Christian principles and that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is our calling. That was the calling for that church, those scattered believers, way back AD 264. And it's the same for us today. And as we do that, we can be assured of God's grace and God's peace in abundance. Well, what should be the response of God's people? What should be our response to God's choosing of us, making us his people? How should we respond? Well, Peter tells us we should respond in praise. Praise be to God. The Greek word here for praise is eulogetos. No surprise, I'm sure, to what that word, we know that word part of that phrase, do we? We get the word eulogy. The word eulogy means to speak well of someone. We often have eulogies, do we, at funeral services, and people will speak well of that individual. To praise them, to celebrate with praises. It's interesting, the adjective eulogetos in the New Testament is only applied to God. Only applied to God, indicating that God should receive the highest praise from our lives. God is worthy of that. Are we giving God the highest praise that he deserves? With our hearts? With our lips? Are we speaking well of God to others? Speaking well of God in our actions as well. Scripture instructs us to do all to the glory and honor of God. In our hearts, in our speaking, in our living, all of our lives should be a lifting up and a speaking well of God. Well, to do so was very costly at that time for these believers. It was resulting in persecution. And we're seeing in our day and generation that to speak up and to say something that is not agreed can lead to somebody being shot. So much for freedom of speech in the culture that we are living in. If you say something that is against what is the narrative of the prevailing power, not able to receive it, not able to say, well, that's a different point of view, but to take extreme action, to go as far as shooting somebody down because they have a different point of view from ours. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge to us. As believers, are we prepared to stand up and to express what we believe and to lift up the name of Jesus? We've seen in the case of Gillian this week, you know, that people have questions and they're asking questions of us. So we are to believe that God is at work in the times that we're in, that we're to have an answer. That's something that Peter will tell us later on in this letter, to always have an answer for the hope that we have. Even in these testing times, Have an answer, because God's at work. God is working in these testing times. And he'll give you an opportunity. If you're ready, if you're switched on, he'll give you an opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. Note that Peter directs our praise particularly to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the reason of his great mercy in giving us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The fact that believers receive these amazing blessings, new birth, living hope, inheritance, shielded by God's power until the consummation of our salvation is attributed to God the Father. God the Father. In Scripture, God the Father is revealed as the great architect, the great planner behind all of God's works, the work of creation, the work of providence, supporting it, the work of salvation. The formula in the Scriptures of God's working is it's of the Father, it's through the Son, and it's in or by the Holy Spirit. Of the Father, through the Son, in and by the Holy Spirit. So because the Father is the grand architect behind God's working, that doesn't mean that he is in any way superior to God the Son or God the Spirit. They're absolutely equal, all worthy equally of praise for their particular way of working. What a wonderful God we worship. And the motivation, the reason for the Father giving us new birth, all these wonderful things Peter mentions to us, is because of his great mercy. The word mercy here means, in Hebrew, is the word eleos, the outward manifestation of pity. The outward manifestation of pity. It assumes need on the part of the one who receives it. And there is no greater need for us as fallen, sinful human beings. Spiritually dead, no hope, destined for judgment. What a pitiful condition we are as fallen, sinful human beings. In and of ourselves, that was the state that we were born into this world. But in that expression of great mercy, it also assumes resources adequate to meet the need on the part of him. God shows that the vast resources he has to meet our pitiful condition, inexhaustible resources God displays in his mercy to us. New birth, living hope, indestructible inheritance, shielded by God's power until we receive it. What a wonderful salvation. No wonder the Father deserves highest praise for his mercy, for his pity towards us, helpless, hopeless in our spiritual state. Let's explore a little bit more about these expressions of God's mercy to us. New birth, what does that mean? It means God radically changing us, making us alive to himself, making us holy, making us his children, God giving us new birth. What about living hope? Living hope. God giving us the certain hope of eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just as Christ was raised and ascended to the Father in heaven, so shall all his people, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Living hope. Indestructible inheritance awaits all God's children in heaven. The perfect consummation of our salvation. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved presently from the power of sin. In heaven, we will be saved from the very presence of sin. What a wonderful salvation. What an inheritance. But that inheritance is supremely knowing God. God deals with our sin, the barrier, the hindrance, the separation, the gulf that we can never gulf, so that we could know him and enjoy him forever. This is eternal life. This is the greatest thing in all our lives, is knowing you, Lord Jesus. There is no greater thing. So don't just stop at being saved. The Lord saved me. He saved you to know him and to enjoy him and to serve him. This is eternal life, knowing the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, the Holy Spirit as well. And glorifying God forever in perfected spirits, souls, and bodies. And then fourthly, shielding us by God's power until we receive our full inheritance. There's a wonderful scripture in Philippians. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. The one who is the author of our faith is also its finisher and its perfecter as well. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us before him, his glorious presence, without fault and great joy. What great mercy the Father, the architect of our salvation, has shown to us. How greatly we should praise him. How greatly we should speak well of him. How greatly God's people should rejoice. And that was the response of the scattered, alienated, persecuted believers to whom Peter's letter was initially addressed. They were greatly rejoicing in their salvation and in the God of their salvation, despite the trials that they were going through. And Peter, knowing that greater trials faced them under Nero, wrote for the purpose of quickening, increasing their joy, and through that joy, their strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's why it's important for us to be reminded of the incredible calling that we have received from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for us to live in the enjoyment of the fact of the extent of God's mercy towards us. New birth, living hope, indestructible inheritance, shielded by God's power until we receive it. the message to us today. The strength that we need for the trials that we face in life, whatever they may be, it's rooted in the joy of God. The joy produced in our hearts as a result of the Holy Spirit awakening us and convincing us and stirring us to grasp hold of the fact of our incredible calling that we are God's children. We are God's children. And to the extent of God's mercy to us, new birth, living hope, indestructible inheritance, shielded by God's power until we receive it. Such joy rooted in God's saving purpose was the source of strength for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's the pioneer of our faith as well. We read in Scripture, who for the joy set before him, seeing the consummation of the Father's great plan of salvation through his sacrifice, seeing us populating heaven, strengthened him, gave him joy, strengthened him to endure the cross and despise its shame. When we look at periods of revival in the church, we see a heightened appreciation of our salvation. For example, the Ulster 1859 revival, there was a particular song entitled, What's the News? It was written during the revival time. This was on the lips of believers. What's the news? And it's all about the wonder of our salvation. I'm going to read the words of this song. This was the news, the good news, the great news that they were rejoicing in. Whenever we meet, you always say, what's the news? What's the news? Pray, what's the order of the day? What's the news? What's the news? Oh, I have got good news to tell. My Savior has done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. That's the news. The Lamb was slain on Calvary. That's the news. That's the news. To set a world of sinners free. That's the news. That's the news. 'Twas there his precious blood was shed. 'Twas there he bowed his sacred head. But now he's risen from the dead. That's the news. That's the news that the world needs to hear. His work's reviving all around. That's the news. That's the news. And many have redemption found. That's the news. That's the news. And since their souls have caught the flame, they shout Hosanna to his name. And all around they spread his fame. That's the news. That's the news. The Lord has pardoned all my sin. That's the news, that's the news. I feel the witness now within. That's the news, that's the news. And since he took my sins away and taught me how to watch and pray, I'm happy now from day to day. That's the news, that's the news. And Christ, the Lord, can save you now. That's the news, that's the news. Your sinful heart he can renew. That's the news. That's in you. This moment, if for sins you grieve, this moment, if you do believe, a full acquittal you'll receive. That's the news. That's the news. And now if anyone should say, what's the news? What's the news? Oh, tell them you've begun to pray. That's the news. That's the news. That you have joined the conquering band. And now with joy, at God's command, you're marching to the better land. That's the news. That's the news. That's the news we are to share. That's the news that only we can bring to the world. It's the only good news, isn't it? It's the only great news that we can share with this world. And that's what we've been commissioned to share, the good news to all creation. That was what was entrusted with the early church. Share the good news to all creation. And that's what we've been entrusted, to share the good news. Now, it might not be perceived as good news when we share it. God needs to open their eyes and to be working in their hearts. And we just trust and pray that he is. Because he's the good news that they need, and God will open people's hearts to see that and to grasp it. Our part is just to share it. So may God help us to do that in our lives, even this week, that we might have opportunities to share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ with someone that we come alongside this week.